And so we'll start in the bottom. Let's start at Gehenna. We'll work our way up. We'll start in Gehenna. We'll start in the bottom. Gehenna is a transliteration of Gehinnom, right? Gehinnom simply means Valley of Hinnom. It is a literal place. The Valley of the Sons of Hinnom is a literal place. It's the westernmost of the three valleys of the topography of Jerusalem. So in the days of the Judean monarchy, apostate Judeans sacrificed their children to a pagan deity in the Hinnom Valley. And in connection with this, the valley took on sort of an ugly association, evil spiritual association. The prophet Jeremiah condemned this place. He predicted that it would one day be called the Valley of Slaughter. And for reasons that are not entirely clear, the valley continued to take on the name of the valley, not the valley itself. But the name of the valley subsequently took on a netherworld association. So in later Jewish writings, the literal name Gehinnom has this metaphorical use as an appellation for the place of punishment in the afterlife. I'll give you an example. Because this is pertinent to Simchat Torah, which is today and yesterday. In Simchat Torah, we read the Parsha about Moses wants to see into the land of Israel. God says, come up on Mount Nebo, you'll get a great view. He goes up on Mount Nebo, right? But, and he sees the whole land. He sees the whole land. It says, he sees to the western sea. But you could translate that as the last sea. He sees as far as the last sea. So not just the Mediterranean, but he sees to the end of time, the sages say. And so as Moses gets this whole vision of the panorama of the history of the people of God plays out before his eyes while he's standing there on Mount Nebo, he gets to see the whole thing. And in the process of that, he sees into Gehenna. And so it says in Numbers Rabbah, God showed Moses Gehinnom. Moses asked, who is punished in it? And God answered, the wicked and those who transgress against me, as it is written in Isaiah 66:24, then they will go forth and look on the corpses of the men who transgressed against me. That's that Isaiah 66:24 passage is key in the sages' teachings about Gehenna. So the sages taught that God created both paradise and Gehinnom, Gehenna, and he created these, here's pertinent to Shabbat Bereshit that starts tonight, he created these before the creation of the world. Aaron mentioned this, about the things that were created before the creation of the world. So the souls of sinners descend into Gehenna. And the sages said, they made a very easy way to differentiate. Just remember this. He who keeps the Torah has entry to paradise. He who does not keep it is faced with Gehenna. So don't let anyone tell you that Judaism is not a works religion. It is and it isn't. It's a works religion until we get to the high holidays. Then it's not. Then it's a mercy religion. Then there's mercy and grace. Then we're back to works. So the souls of sinners remain conscious then during their sojourn in Gehenna. They remember with regret the misdeeds they committed while in the flesh, and in some spiritual sense they endure punishment. And the punishment comes in various forms. It's described in various forms. It's some sort of ethereal fire, or ice, or both, and always darkness. Fire. Genesis Rabbah says, why does a man's soul recoil from the odor of brimstone? Because it knows that it will be judged therein. Ice. The Talmud in Sanhedrin says, the Holy One, blessed is he, judges the wicked in Gehenna for 12 months. At first he afflicts them with itching, after that with fire, at which they cry out, oh, oh, and then with snow, at which they cry out, whoa, whoa. It occurs to me, as I read that passage from Sanhedrin, that we have all three of these afflictions here in Wisconsin. In the different seasons of the year. It's certainly too hot in the summer, it's too cold in the winter, and there's the itching of the mosquitoes when the weather is nice. That's good. That bodes well for the future. Midrash Tanhuma says, those who descend to Gehenna will be judged by nothing but darkness. As it says, the land of utter gloom as darkness itself, of deep shadow without order, which shines as the darkness. That's Job 10:22. Shines as the darkness. Genesis Rabbah says, the wicked are darkness. Gehenna is darkness. The depths are darkness. I lead the wicked to Gehenna and cover them with the depths. So Gehenna is a place of punishment and purgation, where the souls of the dead will receive their comeuppance. Enoch says, meanwhile in paradise, a bright spring of water flows, but of Gehenna, a dry and waterless place. So the Pharisees considered Gehenna as a place of purgation, very similar to the Roman Catholic theory of purgatory. Just kind of a surprise for people. We have it in the Talmud, and statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, saying, the punishment of the wicked in Gehenna is 12 months. One opinion in Pesik de Rabbati says, after going down to Gehenna and receiving the punishment due him, the sinner is forgiven for all his iniquities, and like an arrow from a bow, he is flung forth from Gehenna. The rabbis also taught that one who suffered unduly in this world need not suffer in Gehenna. He could pay his Gehenna in this life. One passage we'll look at in the next lecture specifically mentions that those who suffer poverty, painful diseases, or even a bad marriage need not face Gehenna. The Pharisaic school of Shammai was more strict with people in Gehenna, whereas the school of Hillel was more lenient with people in Gehenna. Shammai believed in the possibility of not just purgation in Gehenna, but extinction, and he even signed people up for eternal suffering. As a more classic, I'll read you this passage. This is from the Tosefta. I'm going to read you the whole passage. Again, you can find this information in Torah Club Volume 4. There are three groups, as it says in Daniel 12:2, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. The latter are completely wicked. An intermediate group, which is neither completely righteous nor completely wicked, goes down into Gehenna and screams, and then comes up and is healed, as it says in Zechariah 13:9, and it will bring the third part through the fire and refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I will answer them, and I will say, they are my people, and they will say, this is, the Lord is my God. The Israelites who sinned with their bodies and the Gentiles who sinned with their bodies go down into Gehenna and are judged for 12 months. After that, you know, this is interesting because, you know, it's like, it's axiomatic. Whenever you talk to Jews today about their belief in heaven and hell, they're like, oh, you know, in hell, the longest you ever have to spend in hell is 12 months. Well, maybe that's how it's developed out today, but according to what Shammai says, after 12 months, their souls perish and their bodies are burned up, and Gehenna absorbs them and they turn to dust and the wind blows them and scatters them. So it's 12 months and then total extinction. 12 months of torment and then done. But sectarians, apostates, traitors, Epicureans, and those who deny the Torah and separate themselves from the way of the community, and those who deny the resurrection of the dead, Sadducees, those who sinned publicly and led others to sin as well, such as Jeroboam and Ahab, those who made war against Israel, Gehenna is locked behind them, and they are judged therein for all generations. This is eternal damnation, which allegedly doesn't exist in Judaism. Then they will go forth and look on the corpses of the men. As it is said, then they will go forth and look on the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm will not die and their fire will not be quenched, and they will be an abhorrence to all mankind. Sheol will be consumed, but they will never be consumed.